For tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, June the 25th, 1979. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, summer camp meeting being held at Hot Springs, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening.
The theme, be teachable and be balanced. Amen? Amen. I feel that this is our purpose as we are open to the anointings of the Holy Spirit and a neutral place that anyone can come and let their heart's desire be found in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank God for His Word. I would like to just go through with this subject from the foundation of the earth. Now, we want to look at, according to Matthew here, and then go on in to the tabernacle of Jesus, following that theme through to the 17th chapter of John, from John 10 to John 17. Keep your Bibles open, and let's just take notes as you feel appropriate to the Holy Spirit. Father, we speak life unto Your Word. We thank You for the Word. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, and verse 34, 35. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, that the Word will live for this hour. We praise You for the things that we've heard in each seminar and each teaching session. And we glorify Thee. We praise You. Hallelujah. For the on-timeness of Thy wonderful blessing. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude, verse 34 of Matthew 13, in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open My mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Underline, I will open My mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I want also to relate to verse 51 and verse 52 of Matthew 13. In this area of Scripture, the Lord is enhancing us to know exactly why He taught all of these things pertaining to the kingdom. We've heard many areas of truth and the sower of the seed and the mustard seed and the leaven, the tares and the wheat, the pearl of great price, the hidden treasure, the treasure in the field, and the net. Then we come to 51 and 52, which is the criteria of what Jesus is speaking about. He says, now this is the way you apply it. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto Him, yea, Lord. Then said He unto them, therefore. In other words, as you understand, let the anointing of the Word come forth in your being. Therefore, said He unto them, or then said He unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. He says, when you're taught of the kingdom, therefore, have you understood what I've been saying? And they say, yea, Lord. Now He says, this is a process. Instead of an imitator, a scribe was one that just copied what he was handed. He just duplicated. There's many people today living the Christian life like a Xerox machine. We just turn them out. But God said, I want you to know that when you hear the kingdom and you listen and are anointed of My Holy Spirit to understand it, you're no longer a scribe. You're no longer an imitator of someone else. You're no longer a rote and that which just goes ahead and copies what someone else has said. But by the anointing of my Spirit, you have come into creativity and you become a householder. You become a ruler in the authority of your house and the anointing of the Lord. Then I give you a key to my treasure. Hallelujah. And this is what he says. For therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. There is a constant creativity. There is a constant flow of things new and old. You become a householder and you have in the kingdom of heaven a great treasury. Praise God. Therefore, the scribe that just imitates what's been handed to him is now in creativity. He listens. He begins to be open to the things, and he's taught by the Holy Spirit what the kingdom of heaven is in the earth. He begins to respond. He has the keys now of the householder, and hallelujah, out of the treasure comes things new and old. The old things are the truth, the justice, the mercy of God. The new things are those things that the Lord has brought forth for this hour. The high praises, the revelations of what he's doing in our day. This is a conference that we release the treasury of the Lord. Hallelujah. We release that which God wants to bring forth in verse 35. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Now, this foundation of the world is a little interesting. There's two names, Katabole, and the other is Themelios. Now, one, Katabole, is that which casts down or overthrows. So Jesus used that term. The other is used in Genesis 1, verse 1, and Hebrews 1:10. Now that Greek word is themelios, themelios. That means the original in the creation, Genesis 1:1. Beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now, between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, the pre-Adamic system is the katabole, K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E. And this is the system that between, that pre-Adamic, and it has to do with the cosmos or the social system that was overthrown, the social world. And this actually means that which was in the satanic overthrow, that from Genesis 1:1, there was a pre-Adamic social system in the earth, and the flood came, or the waters was over the earth without form and void, and then the creative 6 days of Genesis 1:3 and on in to the life that we have today. In other words, that which God said, let us make man in our own image. In the beginning, before the foundation of the world, the things that God had ordained them in the Lord Jesus, He is making open to you and I today. The thrill of His full counsel, the eternal counsel of the Lord, is brought forth. This is the day. Now, when they partook of the manna, they partook of the manna in the 6 days, but on the 6th day, double. The manna spoiled every other day if they partook over their portion, a day at a time. But on the 6th day, they could partake double. The living manna is the word of the Lord. And we're at that 6th day, and we get to partake double revelation of the living word. Hallelujah. The word of God I've never seen in all of our travels throughout the world. And many have concurred this that there is a great hunger upon God's people. Hallelujah. For the word of the Lord, for the enrichment, hallelujah, of His power and His word blossoming out in greater truths, and the thrill of revelation is beautiful. The word of the Lord is being revealed in a wonderful way. Now, this comes, I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And now He has come, and He dwelt among us. John 1, let's turn to John 1, 14. So that revelation is the habitation of our God in Jesus Christ. John 1, chapter 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This was the impact. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is exactly what the world is looking for. The anointing of Jesus Christ within you is the hope of glory. The anointing of the Lord, not the Word made another philosophy, not the Word made another denomination, not the Word made another doctrine, but the Word has been made flesh. Hallelujah. That's the Logos of God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. The Word being made flesh is the Word moving and motivating within us as we read and study the Word to show ourselves approved unto God. The Word made flesh is the Logos. But when the flesh becomes the Word, that's the Rhema. Hallelujah. And so that's the Word in action, the sword of the Spirit, speaking through our lips, the authority of the Lord Jesus. So this is the Word made flesh, and dwelt among us, we beheld His glory. Now, here we have, or we partook of, His glory. Through Jesus, the word dwelt, in the Greek here, is tabernacle. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. So here we have the tabernacle of the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter picks this up, and when Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you," 2 Peter gives us a tremendous insight in that particular framework, and he says, when you partake of this divine nature, it is the power of God. Now, I'm looking at 1 Peter 1, 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the full scope and full potential of Jesus Christ in His full body and the fullness of His complete work will be brought forth in the end time and in the last time in its peak, in its great perfection. And it begins in us who are kept by the power of God through faith in the salvation, ready to be revealed. Are you ready to be revealed? The Word is ready to be revealed in the last time. There's a great revelation upon us. Let's go to 2 Peter. According as His divine power. Now, the word divine power is the anointing that we're partakers of His divine nature. The word divine is the same word in verse 3 as Jesus used in Acts 1:8. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things, please underline this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The fullness of His glory. Virtue also means the praise. First Peter 2:9 says, we're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the praises, the word praises there, is not the extolling and magnitude of thanksgiving. it is the virtue that we should show forth. We're a showcase to the world of His virtue. Hallelujah. And when His virtue abounds, no other power or source can stand it. We remove every other rebellious force by the virtue that builds up within us in His divine nature. He gives us all things that pertain to life. Anything that pertains to death must flee in the name of Jesus. And so those things that pertain unto life, according as His divine nature hath given unto us, Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power," and the word power and divine power is the same thing, the dunamis, or the dynamo of heaven. It's more than dynamite. It means the dynamo, it's the generator. The Greek there means inherent force, one that produces of itself. When you pray in the Spirit, then you have a generator. Amen, that produces power. Now, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The innermost being comes forth the rivers of living water. Therefore, you're a river wherever you go. What does that river do? In Psalms 1:3, it releases the ones you speak to. It releases them into their season and their fruit. It releases the personality in its fullest potential to what God ordains. Every one of us can come into this which will be revealed in our day. It means the full potential of the body of Christ. And God is setting each one of us free by when we praise the Lord together, there's a therapeutic anointing upon us. Hallelujah. We release each other to the full potential of what those things that pertain unto life. And John says, now, this dwells among us. He that is the glory and the virtue, He is the tabernacle that we come into our full potential of life. That which we speak in the Holy Ghost. Now, when the generator is within you, the rivers of living water, where do they come from? They come from the throne of God. In Revelation 22, verse 1, out of the throne comes the river of life, clear as crystal. And the river of life comes from God's throne by the umbilical cord of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit attaches to your innermost being. The Holy Spirit always follows God's laws, amen? The laws of the spiritual, the laws of the fleshly nature, God always brings in a relationship. He has us to flow in relationship to what He's doing. The devil is not a creator, he's an imitator. God is the creator, and anything God does, Satan always tries to imitate it. Therefore, the anointing of the Lord is that God has put within you a generator, and from the throne of God comes the river of life. Now, that river of life is by the Holy Spirit, and that gives you and I that wonderful fragrance of speaking in a heavenly language. If you've never spoken in heavenly languages, the Bible says you can. God's not going to give you a stone. He's going to let you have the power and the force of strength. As you speak in the heavenly language, that's the faucet. You turn it on. What are you doing? You're speaking the stenagmus of God, found in Romans 8, verse 26. With groaning, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays through us with the stenagmus. And the stenagmus is that word that means, if the heart of God could speak, this is what it would be saying. Let's all speak in the Holy Spirit now. Oh, we praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That is the Holy Ghost. The anointing now of the Spirit. You've spoken what? The throne of the Father. You've spoken the river and the inherent force within. A generator is made up, of course, by the plus and the minus. Now, this world is set up in relationship to the living earth. We're the living earth. And therefore, God has breathed in the man, the breath of life. And we have a relationship of certain laws that's in conformity to the scientific laws. The world is made up north and south poles. By the equator, there's a magnetic force. We call it magnetism, or that which is the plus and minus. And with the plus and the minus forces, then we spin them together through the armature, and through the generator comes out light and electric force. Now, in the life of the believer, we have the plus and minuses of life. But when you pray in the Spirit, the plus and the minuses are woven together by the Holy Spirit, and out comes the stenagmus. If the heart of God could speak, this is what He's saying, and God speaks His will, His purposes, His anointing for you and yours and throughout the whole earth. Hallelujah. This is setting His laws and His power and His throne in the earth. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, the will of God is brought forth when you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so the will of God, that which God brings forth for your life when you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is perfected within you to release you in the power and the giving forth of His tabernacle in the earth. He's tabernacled among us. He releases His joy. He releases His virtue. Praise the Lord. Now, in the tabernacle, we have the seven phases. And in these phases that have already been mentioned, some missed the morning sessions, there is the door, and there's the door here, the altar sacrifice, raising the laver where the priest washed himself, and the table of showbread, the candlestick, the candlestand, the altar of incense, the Holy of Holies, which is the Ark of the Covenant, where the throne room of God is. And so there is the seven events, seven positions of the tabernacle. Now Jesus, in His dwelling among us, releases these in a beautiful way through John 10 and John 17. There's other ways, of course, that He has released Himself. These are the major senses of Him dwelling among us. We have come under His canopy, under the shadow of the Highest. And this is what bursts the Word of God within us, the overshadowing. Now, there's five tabernacles, six if you want to include the millennial tabernacle. But there's five major tabernacles in the Word of God. In Hebrews 9, it speaks of the figure of the true. So, tabernacle number one is in heaven. That's where the blood of Jesus is, under the mercy seat in heaven. The mercy seat was measured in its width and in its length. But in its depth, there was no measure. So that how much ever mercy you need, Brother Dow from San Diego and Brother Ellingwood, I'm sure, concur with this, you can have as much mercy. Do you need 2 feet of mercy? Then you can have it. Amen. The mercy seat is not measured in its thickness, but the Lord is merciful. Amen. His mercy endureth forever. And so praise God for His mercy. I'm so glad He forgives. And not only forgives, but forgets. Thank God for His precious blood. The first tabernacle, then, is the tabernacle in heaven. The second tabernacle was fashioned after that, the tabernacle of Moses. This is the important one that we have heard about. That's the tabernacle in the wilderness, or of Moses. The third tabernacle is the tabernacle of David. It was the tabernacle represented by a covering or a tent on Mount Zion. David's tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant that released, in David's generation, the people to greater revelation, and it's also the symbol of the revelation for our day. James, the head of the early church, after he heard Paul and Barnabas tell of the wonderful miracles that were accomplished in their first missionary journey, And then he heard how Peter explained and how the anointing of God fell upon the Gentiles. And the house of Cornelius received the Holy Ghost. In your notes, I'd like you to put down Acts 15. Acts 15, after the great miracles of God, there was the tabernacle of David released for our generation. So James said, this is the restoration of the tabernacle of David. He quoted from Amos 9:11. Amos 9:11 says the tabernacle of David will be restored. Now, in your Bible studies, there are often places that you would like to have greater revelation and greater light on. Just ask the Lord. Many things I've been researching. I know that there is a spiritual laboratory. And there is a spiritual research and development that I would like to have you make a habit in your life. Begin to ask the Lord some things and say, now, Lord, I'm curious about this, and I want to know. Allow the Holy Spirit. I think that we casually go along, and maybe we hear and we depend on each other. We depend on ministry, and we do learn from one another. But there's revelation that we haven't gone this way before. And there is a great revelation vacuum the Lord wants to release in the body of Christ and to ministry and to His people and to everyone. Hallelujah. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I believe, praise God, that this is an area that I've been releasing unto God. Lord, I'd like to know more about Acts 15 and what James said about the tabernacle of David. David's generation was the only one that could go up and look at the Ark of the Covenant. Of course, the Ark came up the road, and David leaped and danced and praised the Lord, and it was quite an event. And every other generation, only the high priest got to look at that Ark of the Covenant. But with the tabernacle of David, David appointed singers, 10,000 singers on Mount Zion to praise the Lord day and night. Mount Zion is where the tabernacle of David is. Acts 15 says the tabernacle of David is being restored, and James released it for our generation. There's something there that I believe God will reveal, and His anointing to your heart as we study to show ourselves approved unto God. And amen, David's generation, who we are the seed of. Amen. The seed of David is upon us. Therefore, let's go to Mount Zion. Now, Jerusalem is made up of five levels. Five is the number of grace. And so here, if you hear a people calling, saying, oh, God's calling a people out of a people. Well, you know, I want to be part of whatever God's doing. I don't want to be left. And what does that really mean? Oh, there's other explanations. But look at even the geographical location of the city of peace. Jerusalem means the city of peace. But there's five levels to Jerusalem. Acra, Bezetha, Moriah is only the third level. Ophel is where the kings are buried, and Zion is the fifth level of Zion. Hallelujah. And that's the anointing where the tabernacle of David is, where the great singers and praises are coming forth, and where the throne of God is out in the open. And that's where the glory of God is on Mount Zion. And at the Passover feast, what we call the Last Supper, Unger's dictionary says there's five cups that was passed. Five cups. Now, you might be in Jerusalem, the city of peace, but you might miss Mount Zion. Amen? That's exactly what is being presented here. Don't miss Mount Zion. Numbers 14 brought out the same thing. When they got mad at Joshua and Caleb, the people picked up stones to throw at them, to stone them and to kill them. Moses felt the wrath of God coming upon the people. Moses began to pray. In Numbers 14, around verse 20 to 24, and this is what the Lord said. All right, Moses, you've asked for forgiveness and you've asked for the people to be forgiven. I'll forgive them. But surely as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Why would God make a statement like that? He meant, Moses, I'll forgive them. They'll still be part of the family of God. They'll still be part of Israel. But their carcasses will never go into the land that I promised, because what's happening here is a sign for the ages. Surely as I live, my glory shall fill the earth, and I cannot release my glory through thee. I'll release my glory through those of the type of Joshua and Caleb who will enter into my land. Glory to God. Those that go up to Mount Zion, let's praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's those that believe the word and receive it and enter in to the land that God has for us. The land and the rest, the anointings of the Holy Spirit, the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit that move in a person's life, that changes our life to be a benefit in the earth. And that's why God says, surely as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. Now, that has not happened yet. So what he meant was, their carcasses will fall in the wilderness, but I'll take in those who have a right spirit. Amen. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart is salvation, but renew a right spirit in me is the Holy Ghost, the anointings of the power of God within me. Hallelujah. And so now the Lord is saying, I will bring forth, I will tabernacle among you. First of all, we have the door. Let's turn to John 6. Go right along here. And not tarry. John 10. The 10th chapter of John. Now, let's go through the tabernacle. All right, now, where did I get? I only got to the third tabernacle of David. Now, the fourth tabernacle is the tabernacle of Jesus. And we'll deal with that tonight. The fifth tabernacle is the tabernacle of the believer. And this is the seven phases also of the believer. Just mentioning a few. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open his heart's door unto me, I'll come in with him, sup with him, and he with me. And then we have the altar of sacrifice within the believer. And Romans 12, present your body a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Before the Lord. The labor, wash yourself for the renewing of the word of God. Hallelujah. Get into the word and wash yourself. Table of showbread, the same thing. Eat of my flesh. In other words, take the word of God. Eat it. It's a table of living bread. And there is the word. Of course, the candlestand, the candlestick, and the candlestand means the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The fresh oil, the new wine, the light from the Holy Ghost. It comes forth in your life. The altar of incense is the intercessory prayer of the believer that comes forth. And then we come on in to the Holy of Holies, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Hallelujah. That's the tabernacle of the believer. Many other things could be added. Now, all right, let's go back to the tabernacle of Jesus. He dwelt among us. John 10. Start with underlining the word door. Circle it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So therefore, Jesus said that the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so the anointing of the Lord is that we have power over all the power of the enemy. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Casting out devils. And if you take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And you shall speak with new tongues. These are the anointings to expel the thief. Verse 2, circle the word door. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, the word openeth. Circle that. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, and please underline, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. The tabernacle of Jesus, he is the door. That means we will hear his voice. He will speak to his sheep, and they will hear. Verse 9, I am the door. Circle that again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Circle the word life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. That's as far as we'll go for this particular faith. The door of the sheep is Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah Roi is the Hebrew term for the Lord is my shepherd. R-O-I. Jehovah Roi. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. Hallelujah. He leadeth me beside the green pastures and the still waters. The word still in Psalm 23 is menucoth. M-E-N-U-C-O-T-H. And it's taken from Ruth 1:9. So when Jesus as a shepherd is the door, he gives us peace to make our life abundantly. And so he says here, I am that they might have life more abundantly. So as the shepherd of the sheep, he leads us by still waters. The word still is found in Ruth 1:9. Menucoth. Naomi is telling her daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, because her sons have died, Naomi is saying, go to your countries over in Moab, over in Edom. Go over there, go back to your hometown, and marry again and have rest in the house of your husband. Naomi used the word rest, and she used the word that David used for still, menucoth. Rest in the home means still waters. Menucoth in the Hebrew means matrimonial peace in the home. If you want your home to dwell in peace, say, Lord, you're my shepherd. You're the door. Hallelujah. And I hear your voice, and I thank you for still waters. That means matrimonial peace, not only for your immediate family, but in-law friction. Naomi spoke it. And she said, you'll have rest. And then Ruth said those very important words. Whether thou goest, I'll go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Hallelujah. And therefore it was broken forever in Jesus' name, in Jehovah God. Jehovah as the shepherd of the sheep rebukes all in-law friction. Let's praise God for that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The mother-in-law and the father-in-law and the daughter-in-law and the son-in-law. We come against every in-law friction right now in Jesus' name. Thank God. Say, it's broken now. I forgive me, Lord, for any hurt, for any type of unforgiveness. In Jesus' name, I'm free from that. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Praise God. You'll function more as the anointing of God moves upon you. The Lord will tear out all hurt and all types of friction. All right, that's the door. Now, chapter 11 and 12 is the two chapters that represent the altar sacrifice. We'll have to deal with it quickly. At the altar sacrifice, death is required. So in chapter 11 and 12, death is represented and also life through Jesus Christ. Chapter 11, Lazarus dies. The disciples say, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, let him alone. In verse 13, Jesus said, but he's dead. In verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Then he goes to Bethany in verse 20. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the future. I know there's goodies, Lord, but I know that they'll happen in the future. We can just pray for each other the best way we can and pray that I'll hold out to the end. And this looks like the end, my friend.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
What is your need for today? This was Martha's need. Jesus answered her in verse 25, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Right now, Martha, I'm with you. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Martha said something beautiful. I don't like to look down on Martha because she said something here in verse 27. She saith unto him, yes, Lord, I believe. And she didn't just put her belief in a miracle or in an event. In Psalms 1:3, verse 7, it says, God showed his ways unto Moses, his acts to Israel. It's a greater maturity of anointing if we know the ways of the Lord. That's what Martha says, Lord, I know your ways. I believe. Not that my brother's going to rise again. She went higher than that. She says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. In other words, whatever I need, you have the power to bring. I like that. Whatever I need, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. That's exactly what Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son, the disciplined one of the living God, the creative one. Hallelujah. And that's what each one of us stand upon. He's the anointing of our life that breaks every yoke. He's the Son that we have it through. We distance ourselves by the anointing that he gives us to speak his creative word that brings his will to pass. Praise the Lord. Now, then just quickly, Mary. The Lord deals with her in an unusual way. Then when Mary was come, in verse 32, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, underline, Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. The word groaned there, and in verse 34, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And in the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. This word groan means, it's a heavy word, imbrimamaya, and it means as a horse would whinny. It's an animal in distress. It's taken also relating to Psalms 22, verse 1, where Jesus cried from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. It's a cry of an animal in distress. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But here it is not said what he groaned, but it was the word that was used is a veterinary term, and it means as an animal or a horse would whinny. Something like, oh, God, to have the Son of God weep with you. Brother, you know you're coming out with a high heart. Amen. And when Jesus saw her weeping, many of us would say, Mary, hush up and begin to confess faith. Now, somebody put a tape recorder and somebody get the camera. This is my best side. And when we say Lazarus come forth, we'll get a magazine started and really have a minister. Now, Mary, please be still. You're ruining faith there. You're ruining the whole approach. No, there was a sensitivity here. I don't want to minimize the point, but Jesus is the most sensitive burden bearer we've got. I say, Lord, touch me with this stuff. Well, touch me with a whole lot of your compassion. Many times, you know, people want to be ministered to, and oh, I try to minister as long as I can. 3.5 hours just prophecy after prophecy over at Dallas. Session after session. But I notice a little tendency among ministers throughout the travels that they're just not that ministering to God's people. Say what you can, rouse them up and to give and support you, but sneak off before anyone can get to you, because it does drain you. Fully. I really believe that, praise God, the anointing of the Lord. Oh, yes, but it'll tax you. Oh, yes, but it... Oh, who do you think we get the anointing from? I have been so that I couldn't raise my hands to put my hands on people. But the channel, that's all you are. When the person stands before you, the faith within them empowers you. And I'll just start praying, well, Lord, touch this person, and pow! The Holy Ghost hits me, and I touch him, and the anointing of prophecy comes. They're set free, they're delivered, and moving with the power of God, because the Lord refreshes you as you will yield yourself to minister to somebody. Amen. You're the channel. The impact is not on you and abides, but the channel flows through you. That's what 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It says, this treasure is in earthen vessels. The word vessel there is a peculiar word. It doesn't mean that one end is closed up like a pitcher is. It means we're in an adobe pipe, and we're all connected with each other. And the treasure flows through us. The glory flows through us. And as we loose it into somebody else, God ministers to them. Hallelujah. And so when you give, you've loosed someone else to give. When you pray, you're loosing someone else to pray. When you move out in the areas of confidence and authority and command in Jesus' name, you're loosing, no telling how many of them. You are the adobe pipe, but the glory flows through you. Many of you have prayed and released my ministry, no telling how many others. Because you prayed, because you released your support, because God has used you, no telling. When you intercede, you're releasing interceders, intercessors all over the world. Amen? Oh, praise God. It's that continuation force. So Jesus cried with her. Jesus weeps with us. But even though in the next few moments, he's going to take the cause of weeping away. Yes, there is power in our confession of the word, but let's not get so wrought up in just that emphasis that we miss the tenderness of Jesus. He weeps with you. He knows the turmoil of our heart. He knows what we lack. I thank God. There are times, praise God, he understands. And then in the next few moments, he says, Lazarus, come forth. He calls my name, chuckling, come forth. He calls your name, come forth. Hallelujah. And praise God, we come out, set free. But for the time, hallelujah. He knows how sensitive, and he is sensitive to our needs. Quickly in chapter 12, also the altar of sacrifice speaks of death but life. Mary comes, and verse 2, there they made him a supper. Now, I want to relate this to you. In verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, after Lazarus was raised from the dead and so forth, he's a few days later, he came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. I want you to underline Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. This is just a little bit of a symbolism here and a testimonial. Martha, she served. She was busy for the Lord. That's well and good. Mary, she chose the better part. She sat at his feet and heard his words and ministered to him. But Lazarus, just his presence brought great conviction and concern upon the whole community, because he had died out completely and he was only living because Christ lives. That is beautiful, I think. That Lazarus, just his presence, you can be so full of the resurrection power of God that wherever you go, the anointing of God will just shoot forth from you. Hallelujah. And your very presence, because you're dead to sin, you're alive by the power of Christ. Mary brought the pound of ointment. In verse 3, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, the spirit of betrayal, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? For he knew value, and given to the poor. Then this he said, and this is what John's writing here, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag. And please circle the word bear, and bear what was put therein. The word bear is an interesting word. It's bastazo, B-A-S-T-A-Z-O. Bastazo, the Greek word that means he pilfered, he stole what was in the bag. The spirit of betrayal, many are worshiping what they feel is worship. But someone's stealing from the bag, and the bag's going to be empty one day. It's like the taskmasters of Egypt. They've taken away the straw. But praise God, the anointing of the Lord. Now, Mary came, and she anointed his feet. And then Jesus said in verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Quickly now, Mary came with her dowry. It's a beautiful fact. I think Judson Cornwell brings this out in one of his books, Let Us Praise. Where Mary came, and it was a tradition of the young girls of that day, that they would have a dowry, which we call today a hope chest. Or they planned for their marriage, and so through many means, possibly their family provided for it, but that was it. She had, all she had was her dowry. It was a spikenard. It was worth quite a lot, and the pound of spikenard. She brought the alabaster box. But this was her whole life's ideals. This, the young Jewish men in the community, when they asked someone to marry them, they depended on that dowry to get them started. And Mary came with her dowry, her life's ambitions, that which was her ideals, that which was her hope for marriage, of getting a good mate, and she broke it over Jesus and over his feet. She gave of herself to the Lord. And she said, well, Lord, whatever I have, all of my plans and ambitions, I put them in your hands. I believe she got the best deal and the nice young man of that community. Amen? I really believe that. Mary gave her life's future. Her dowry. More than just giving something costly, she gave her life, that which was her ambition. And so this is done because of the burying of the Lord Jesus and his life. She did it for his death, but her life just begun. Hallelujah. This is the true offering of her heart. When you give sacrificially, it's a sweet savor, and the God, you've just begun to live. Hallelujah. God's blessing, God's anointing is upon you. Malachi says when you give to a storehouse. The word storehouse in the Hebrew is an interesting word. It means a place where ammunition is kept, where weapons of your warfare are given out. So when you give to the anointing, to a place where there's weapons, hallelujah. As you give faithfully, there is a anointing of God that comes upon God's people, and the Lord releases you into a whole new framework of warfare and giving you the weapons that will bring down the enemy. Hallelujah. The armory of God is released in our life. And so this is the tabernacle of the Lord in the altar of sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Chapter 13, quickly, is the laver where the priests washed themselves. John 13 is where Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. This is the backup system that he washed the disciples' feet. He says, all things are given into my hands, that he was come from God and was going to God. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments, and was set down again. He said unto them, know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also should wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. For verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. When Jesus washed their feet, feet and tongue are the same in Scripture. In Psalm 15, it speaks of the backbiter that is not allowed to go up to the mountain of God. Verse 2, verse 3. The backbiter in the Hebrew means he who walks on my back with his tongue. So tongue and feet mean the same. That's why Jesus said the God of peace. It means the God of your peace through your tongue shall bruise Satan under your confession shortly. It's as you confess the authority of the Word of God and have peace about that, that God will bruise Satan under your feet under your speaking confidence in His Word. Hallelujah. We tread on serpents and scorpions. Doesn't mean we go around with our feet treading on serpents and scorpions. It means you have power over all the power of the devil to rebuke Satan and command him to leave, and he will leave. Amen. Resist the devil, and he will leave. It's the authority, the feet, and the tongue are the same speaking with power and glory. So therefore, the washing of the feet means not only do we have to do it in it is a wonderful, humbling experience and beautiful, but it can also be done with speaking salutations of comfort and anointing and power and lifting up one another, washing them with the words of love and strength in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Quickly, chapter 14 is the table of showbread. I'd like you to look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Put table of showbread before verse 23 of chapter 14. The words, or the living words of the Lord, are emphasized. It's the table of showbread, that the words of the Lord give us strength. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The word abode, I'd like to have you circle, because it's the same word, mone, M-O-N-E, that's used for mansion. So who is the mansion of the Lord? It's those that the Lord makes his abode within. Amen? And so he has come and made his mone, or his abode within you, and therefore you, the believer, is the mansion of the Lord. It's the same Greek word, mansion is Monet, so is abode. So when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost make their abode within you, you're the mansion of the Lord. In chapter 15, it is the candlestand, or the anointing, or the lampstand of the Holy Spirit. In verse 26 of chapter 15, put lampstand of the Holy Ghost. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The power of the Holy Spirit, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit in chapter 15, the lampstand. Chapter 16 is the altar of incense. Chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. For verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask me of the Father, ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Verse 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. This is the altar of incense. The prayer life of the believer is chapter 16, the altar of incense. Now we come to the Holy of Holies, and the very first word that's said in John 17 is Father. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. This is the great intercessory prayer of our Lord. John 17 is at the altar, or the Holy of Holies. It's at the covenant of the Lord, or the Ark of the Covenant, or in the throne room of the Lord. And he prays for you and I. It's a tremendous portion of Scripture. I want to go down to verse 24. Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me, and here is my text tonight, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Where I am, let them be with me, Lord, that they may behold my glory. The word behold does not only mean a stance of recognition, it means the experience of. Jesus is saying, I'm going to reveal from the foundation of the world, secrets are going to be revealed in the highest potential in the end time. He said, Father, the thing I want you to do, keep them from the evil one. And he says, let them receive my glory. And then he says something very intimate. For thou hast given me this glory, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What did he mean? He meant that when he, the Word, the Logos, the Word that created the galaxy, and as Job said, he stood on nothing, and he threw nothing into space. Oh, the glory of creation. The power of God was in his very Word. He spoke life. There was life. He created the world. Now, Palomar tells us there's about 4 or 5 billion galaxies in our universe, or in space. In our Milky Way, we have it's just one galaxy. The tremendous expanse. I feel like the guy that wrote, Stop the World and Let Me Off. The tremendous expanse. Light that travels 186,000 miles a second. And yet we're the light of the world. We're going to be the Word of the Lord. We'll go. Hallelujah. You're going to see the anointing of Revelation go so fast, it'll shock this old earth. Hallelujah. God's people are going to be everywhere. Hallelujah. My glory will one day fill the earth. Hallelujah. So the Lord here is saying, Father, I want them to receive my glory. And Father, that glory that thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is saying, Father, remember when I was throwing the galaxies and tossing the planets. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Talk about soccer. There goes Pluto and Venus and Mars. It comes down to our universe. Sun and the moon. When he creates the earth, though, at the foundation of the world, Father, pow, something pierced his heart. The sin, the degradation of it. He said, I remember, Lord, I didn't know what to do, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. There was something, some reason that Jesus mentioned the foundation of the world. He felt the piercing agony of the cross. He said, Father, when I felt that, your love sustained me. And your love that sustains all of these that I'm praying for, that will take them into my glory. Oh, hallelujah. When I was creating the galaxies and all the universe, and all the sons of God were shouting and singing and shouting for joy. Oh, praise God. But when I created the world, the earth, the piercing of Calvary, the piercing of the sin, degradation, separation, I would be separated from you. Pierced my heart. But you gave me love. That's the glory of God. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. In the foundation of the earth, he has loved us. We will receive his glory by the revealed word of God for this hour. He truly tabernacles among us. He's the door that leads us. He's the altar of sacrifice that redeems us. He's the word that washes us. He's the living bread, the showbread that keeps us in holiness. He's the lampstand of the Spirit that empowers us. He's the altar of incense that we keep our confidence in as we intercede before the Father. And he is the throne of God that we can come boldly to. Let's praise him for his word. Father, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify and we magnify thee. We bless your name for this hour. We glorify the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord. For surely as I live, saith the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. Therefore the Lord thy God to say, come up to Mount Zion. Yea, come into the throne of grace boldly. Let the Lord thy God overshadow thee. Let his presence reveal himself unto you. For surely the Lord will weep, and surely the Lord will praise. Surely the Lord will rejoice through his people. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This is the sum of the matter. For we have a great high priest forever in the heavens. And the glory of the Lord is yours. And thy God reigns. Arise up, my love. Let us go into all the world. And speak creatively the heart of God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The time has gotten away from us. Sorry about that. I'm a new creation. Well, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just let Jesus be real to your heart. Let him tabernacle in your home. Aren't you glad for still waters, matrimonial peace? All friction is lifted. God has given you peace. Hallelujah. He's moved in your heart and in your life. Glory to God. We just thank the Lord for the reality of his presence. Amen and amen. I want to just pray for a couple here. Would this young lady, would you come step out here in the aisle? There's a brother, older brother there in that blue suit. Would you bring your wife? You guys are praying about something. Yes, brother, there. Yes. Is your wife? Would you bring her? I want to agree with you. Hallelujah. Let the anointing of the Lord rest in your life. Amen. Let's loose the word of the Lord. Amen. Sister in the green outfit, would you come? And yes, this sister here, this sister in the brown with your purse, if you don't mind coming and bring your husband with you. Hallelujah. Amen, Jesus, if he's here. Okay. Just come forward. Praise the Lord. Yea, for my ways, the Lord thy God will impress it upon you, shall go before you, and the crooked ways are made straight. And you'll not waver, for my joy is your portion. For truly as Mary you have set at the Lord's feet. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. I'll release my power, release my word within you. For surely your desire is in me. And I've loosed you from that which would be of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is loosed from thee. Come forth in the name of the Lord. Put on the priestly garments of praise, for my joy is your portion. You shall go through this door. I will provide for you. I will take that which has been a hurt 2 months ago. I'm going to open the door and no man will shut it. For you have come and I know the desire of your heart. And I will already intervene for you within 1 month. You'll know the Lord has healed you beautifully and brought that which is upon your heart to pass. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's agree with this couple, brother. Let's just agree together. Amen. For yea, you'll not be robbed of the graces of life, for I've loosed you for this hour. And we just praise the Lord together that yea, you will complement each other. For yea, my peace shall be upon you, my son. That which yea, you have started out, as you have talked about 3 months ago, that which would try to tax thy body is set free. And now you have come, yea, to be fortified, to be encouraged. Yea, I will fortify thee. Yea, I will empower thee. I will arm thee, saith the Lord. With the mind of Christ thou shalt be armed, and thou shalt go forth in my power and my anointing. I have set ambushments against the enemy. Therefore, I'm lifting you into a fresh anointing. Your ministry will go through a door that shall be dynamic, and the peace of the Lord shall go forth. And these that you're believing for, that you have raised, that you have dedicated, yea, you'll hear a good word. You'll hear a good report. I'm setting them free. I'm healing and moving in your life. My son, the anointing of the Lord has set you free. Through the metabolism in your body, you're healed by the stripes of the Lord. My peace is upon you. And my daughter, yea, the anointing of creativity is flowing through thee. Thou shalt, yea, loose the word of the Lord. For as mighty lightning bolts of glory, you shall complement each other. Many shall be delivered and set free. For you're coming into a fresh ministry, a new insight of my word. Yea, this week the Lord has released you into fresh revelations of praise and victory. And you will go forth, and you will touch those that have had heavy garments on. And just as soon as you speak it, they will shall be free. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. What a ministry. Amen. All right. Amen. Thou shalt be faithful in these things, for the Lord thy God will fill, yea, the speaking, and that void within your heart, I will go before thee, for the desire, yea, of the Lord is within thee. Fill the valley full of ditches. Make provision for the anointing that I have loosed you with, as you will, yea, support, and as you will sow the seed, I'll bring the fruit of it. You'll know the Lord has brought you forth from for this hour. For yea, as Esther had the scepter of God for the kingdom of God, yea, you've come unto it timely. You're under my timing. And the song of Moses is thy reward, for you have stood still, and you've seen the salvation of the Lord. Therefore your desire of your heart shall be met, for I've loosed thee for this hour, and thou shalt surely praise me, and go forth, yea, and know that when I have spoken, thou shalt intervene, yea, give. As the Lord thy God has given, and you shall know the door is open. No man will shut it, for you shall believe, and I have prospered thee, and I will walk before thee and bring you in to the abundance of my peace. For I've broken the yoke, and that which has tried to harass you this last month, I lift off of you in the name of Jesus. You're set free. Praise God. Your whole environment, something legally or something that has been not only persons, but just a strain, that's lifted, and you're going to go forth in a beautiful way. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless your name, for your shoulders shall be strong, and that which would try to weaken thee, the infection within the lower parts of your system, you're set free, sister. Praise God. Yea, praise God, because you've been faithful, because your desire, yea, is in me, and thou art, yea, more than willing to be used, and more than willing to be, yea, the doorstep in the house of the Lord, and the doormat of joy is your reward. Therefore, I'll lift thee up, and I say unto thee, come forward, for I've empowered thee, I've consecrated you, I've anointed your hands, and put my word within your hands, so that you might lay hands upon the sick and they'll recover, and I'll rebuke the devourer, and yea, thy home is free, and the anointing of the Lord will provide, for you're in a new day, a new hour. You shall speak my word, and surely the Lord will go before you. It's already accomplished. Amen. Bless her, Father. Bless her, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yilamashandala mahandala mashanda. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have four or five that would like to come and be ministered to. Just stand up right now. Just about a half a dozen now. That'll be good. All right. Come forward. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. For my peace shall surround you. This is good. This is enough. Thank you. Father, we praise you. My peace has already surrounded thee and built within thee my authority. Release the word of the Lord, for you're set free to flow in the anointing. Yea, take the boldness that you have prayed for the Lord has already passed it out in glory, and it has already, yea, taken part of thee, and thou art set free. Yea, my daughter, rise up, take your authority, for yea, my strength is upon thee, and thou shalt loose the word of the Lord, and it shall dwell in you richly. For I'll put, yea, a new heart, a fresh vision. My anointing and my refreshing is upon you. And my son, thou art healed to go forth in my love and my joy. Amen. You guys are believing the Lord now, and the Lord is weaving your hearts so that there will be a peace and a unity of that which he is bringing forth. And take your authority, for it'll be beautiful the way the Lord expressed to Paul. He witnessed in every city. Hallelujah. The steps that you're to take, God's going to give you confirmation. He's already done it, and he'll continue that. This week, you'll have about two or three that you'll have confidence you're right on. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you, Father. We just thank you. Set our sister free at the anointing of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Yea, for my strength, yea, is out of Zion. Thou shalt surely come forth into a higher depth, a deeper depth, a higher height. For my anointing shall encompass thee round about. For my word shall dwell in you richly. For you're loose from this hour. Hallelujah. You shall have the confidence in thy ministry is taking on, yea, that settled peace. And you will not be driven, but you will go through the door at the strategic hour. You're set free to walk in me and my power. I'll break the yoke and go before you. For the word of the Lord dwells in you richly. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My joy is over thee, and thou shalt surely go through that which the Lord hath purposed within your heart. Know thou not that, yea, as you stand in me, you've come to be set free, and my peace shall overshadow you. And my peace, yea, therefore, shall go before you. For you'll know that the Lord thy God has empowered you, strengthening you. And yea, I have set you free to go forth. And that which you will enter into, I'll open doors of fresh ministry, and you will speak the word with peace and confidence that my anointing has broken the yoke. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. All right, these that are in line, please come around here, and we'll pray for you. Amen. Those that must go are slipping out. Try to be as... Hallelujah. All right, those here. Would you step over here? Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We just received that anointing. Set our sister free and our brother. But yet you're not going to be robbed of the graces of life. For I've loosed you from this hour. I've imparted to you, yea, my son, and my daughter, thou shalt surely be strong. And in the Lord you shall come forth as the power and the anointing of Joshua. You partake of the land that I've loosed within you. You're set free from this hour. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. For my anointing shall give you wisdom, and I'll break the yoke, because I've gone before you, and that which you brought to me even yesterday and the day before, these things will not come nigh your dwelling. For I, the Lord thy God, have put a wall of fire around you, and I'll lead you in my power and in my purpose. Be strong in the Lord, and be strong in the power of his might. For I've loosed you from this hour, and thou shalt surely know that the Lord thy God has touched you and healed through your circulation, my son. Arise up and be glad, for you'll go through the door with joy. You'll know the Lord, hallelujah, has released his word within you, for I will lead you. There's a decision. Seems to be a very intimate desire upon you. The desire of your heart shall be loosed, and the Lord will bring it forth in his timing and in his purpose. We just praise you, Father. For yea, that which you have believed for, that which you have received, that which my anointing will bring upon you, you'll not waver, for you will be strong and receive. Yea, that which would try to tear and hurt, I put my hand upon you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.